Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are so thrilled you could join us today for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. Thank you for the kind letters we have been receiving. We are delighted when we hear from our viewers and listeners. A viewer from Wyoming wrote, "Thanks to all of you at the Christian Worship Hour that Pastor Salem is still on TV. We see the reruns and still get so much out of the program. We keep learning more about the Bible because Pastor Salem uses scripture in his sermons. Today, Dad's message is on Satan. Where did he come from? Who is he? And how does he work? We need to know these answers to better fight and defeat the devil. Now, here is today's timeless message, Satan Exposed. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, a week has rolled by, and God has been with us, and like he said, he'd never leave us or forsake us. We can always rely upon that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so today we're going to have a kind of a special sermon. I'm going to have a sermon about telling about the picture, what the devil is like. Who he is, where he came from, how he works and what he does, and what's going to happen to him. And we've got a whole sermon on Satan, the wicked, evil devil. And so we're just praying that God will bless this service and use it to his honor and glory. There's a scripture in Psalm 116, and we want to open with that, where the psalmist said, "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." And so when we have our services, we do praise the Lord because he is the center of all that we're saying and all that we're doing. And really, that's the only reason we have these services, and that's to honor Jesus and tell the whole world about Jesus. And because he is the light of the world and he's the only salvation. And so it's in the Lord Jesus that we have our hope. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 14, if you want to locate that, and then just keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at that passage of Scripture, because Isaiah tells us a lot about the devil, a lot about Satan, and so we're going to learn about him, and better that way we can know about him, we can fight him and resist him and put him in his place. But I want to read some of the letters we get. Now, I do want to thank everyone for all the letters that you write. And we read every letter we get. And we answer those that have questions. Now, if you're asking some foolish question, it's got to be a spiritual question that'll help your heart. For instance, somebody writes and they want to know how many angels can stand on the head of a pin. Or they'll write and they'll say, write about something that has nothing to do with their soul and the Lord Jesus. And to those, we just don't take time to answer. And sometimes we have people send in all kinds of information and they want me to preach different and they want me to preach a different gospel and they have all these. So we don't spend time answering those. But when people write in and they're heartsick and they're lonely and they want to, and they're downhearted, and maybe some of them write in and they've lost a loved one, someone close to them, and when you lose your spouse, that's an awful experience. And so we always answer those questions. And when people write and say they want to know about Jesus, that they have never accepted Jesus and they want to know about Jesus, we write immediately and we send literature and we'll keep helping you to get your feet on the ground and walking with the Lord. So these letters are important. And so we're going to look at some of them today. The first one is from Kirkman, Iowa. And this person writes, "My brother took his own life in 2008. It's been very difficult to work through that loss. The most grievous part was thinking he condemned himself to hell by doing so. Over 6 months before he took his life, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We were all very hopeful that would be the life-changing point for him, and he could push through his pain and depression. Instead, he gave up the pain and left us to deal with our emotions. Your booklet gave me peace, and I feel he had truly accepted Jesus. His last moments in this life were reading the Bible and listening to the CDs of songs his wife and he had written. Thank you for your ministry and your simple, basic approach to God's Word. Thank you for the faithfulness of everyone involved in your ministry, singers, pianists, cameramen, and all who are involved in the Christian Worship Hour. Now, I've written a little booklet that's about 10 pages, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is, yes, indeed, he can go to heaven. And we send these out on a freewill offering basis. I'll give you the address in just a minute. But this little booklet is, I'm not writing and telling you that I died and went to heaven and then I came back. And I'm not saying that I had visions and dreams and I heard voices from heaven. Everything in this little booklet, Can a Christian Commit Suicide Go to Heaven? Yes, indeed. All we have is the Bible, the Word of God. What does God have to say about this matter? And we can show you beyond a doubt that if a Christian commits suicide, their sins are all paid and they're with the Lord and they're in heaven. And you can write and get it. Let me give you the address right now while you're thinking about it. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can send a contribution to help us, that's fine. If you don't have anything, we hear from people in prison. We hear from people are on Social Security, and they don't have a nickel to their name, and I know what that's like. I'm a child of the Depression, and I know the time we didn't have a nickel. Postage was 3 cents. We didn't have 3 cents to send a letter. And so if you don't have any money, you write, because somebody else will write and they'll say, well, we're sending extra to help out. It all works out. God works it out. So we don't even have to keep books. We just have to receipt every penny we get, and then we have it all audited. And I just might say while I'm on the subject that we are audited by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they not only check every penny we take in, but they check every penny we spend. So we spend it the way we're saying we're going to spend it, and that's to buy TV time. So you can write in, and we'll be glad to send you that book. Now, here's another letter, and oh, I just love this letter. It's from Osceola, Wisconsin. All of you listen closely to this one. If you miss all the rest, that's okay. Don't miss this one. Pastor Salem, the church that I was saved in was the El Salem Baptist Church. Isn't that beautiful? I just wish I could change our church here at El Salem. I'll talk to the deacons, but I don't know how far I'll get. But this is what he writes. I was saved in this church. He said, I had fallen from faith until I started watching your program. With your services and the company of the old times hymns, you have brought me back home. Thank you and the Christian Worship Hour musicians and staff. There is a lot of good stuff in the name Salem. Boy, I can say amen to that. I just love that name. And so, because the Salem means peace, so that means I'm supposed to make peace with people, be a peacemaker. And so I got to keep that in mind. Here's Jamestown, North Dakota. Just a note to let you know how much my husband and I enjoyed your message, Our Little Flock. I had been feeling more anxious than usual, so your reminder to cast our cares on Jesus, to lean on Jesus and trust in him was very comforting. I didn't feel alone when you mentioned trusting in him and then finding yourself still uneasy. May God bless you and your team and keep up the wonderful work and messages. Love to you all. And what she's talking about there is, I tell her how sometimes I have a worrying about something. I give it to Jesus, and I just am so happy, and all of a sudden, here, I'm worrying about it again. And so you just take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, and He'll take care of them for you. And I'm not saying they'll go away, because you may have to go through the fire and the water in this world. In this world, you're going to have troubles and trials and temptations, but God will be with us. He'll see us through, just like the children in the fiery furnace. He saw them through it, and He'll see you through it too. Just trust Him. Lean on Him. Let me see. Here's one from Shoreview, Minnesota. This is a special letter because it's about a pastor. And they write, "Thank you so much for your faithful ministry. It is unique and it is needed. My 95-year-old father, a retired pastor, can no longer attend his local church, but one of his highlights of the week is your weekly broadcast. May God continue to bless your ministry." And I prayed for this dear brother the minute I got that letter, and I know he'll pray for me. And you know, there's just something about a pastor. You just can't pray for another pastor unless you've been a pastor. It's just different. It's just this. You just have a different mindset, a different heart. I don't know, but it is wonderful, and I'm so thankful that God called me into the ministry. And I'm going to tell you that I would, if I had 100 lives, I'd give all of them to the ministry. So we pray for this dear brother in Shoreview, Minnesota. Here's Bismarck, North Dakota. "I just received a copy of your booklet on Christians and suicide. I didn't doubt that my son who died by suicide was in the arms of Jesus, and now I have biblical truth to back me up. I shared the booklet at our suicide support group, and many others want a copy. They're still questioning, and they need reassurance. Only our merciful Savior knew the hearts of our loved ones, and He wouldn't condemn a Christian who is ill with depression or any mental health issue. I'm enclosing another donation, so please send me however many books, copies you think it covers. I'll share them with our grieving parents, and God bless you." And so now here's the thing. This little booklet on, if a Christian commits suicide, can he go to heaven? Yes, you bet he can. It's all based on the Bible. There's nothing what I think or how I feel or anything of the sort. It's from the Bible, and it's got 8 reasons. And if you take that, you can find comfort and strength. And that's what this lady's been writing about. Here's one from Laurel, Montana. And this person writes, and he says, "I've been watching your sermons for the last 3 or 4 months. I attended a church for a long time. I backslid. Your sermons inspired me to turn back to God. They have brought light and joy back into my hot life. I'm sending this to you because God has blessed me richly through your messages. Thank you. P.S. I gave 25 years of service to the country in the military. You know, I wonder sometimes how many drift away. It's easy to backslide. The devil loves to do that. He loves to get you just to get busy with other things, or get upset about something, or worry about something, or something didn't turn out just the way you thought it should, and you're mad at God. The devil's got more tricks, and that's what we're going to preach about today, whole sermon on the devil. Well, where did he come from? And what does he do? And what's going to happen to him? So I'll bet it's been a while since you heard a sermon, whole sermon on the devil. Well, stick around. You'll hear one, brother, sister. And I won't be complimenting him either, I can tell you that. But here's this man. He's drifted away, and now there's hope. And he comes back to the Lord. And you know it doesn't matter how many sins you committed. If you come to Jesus, and like in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you come back to Jesus, He'll receive you every time. You remember the parable Jesus told about the prodigal son, and he drifted away and ended up feeding the hogs and eating the husks, and the old hogs slobber on him, and then he'd eat them. Poor thing. And then he came back to his dad. And when he was a long ways off, his dad saw him because his dad was looking every day for that son. Would that son come back? And when he saw him, he ran to meet his son. And in the Middle East, the fathers don't run to their son. The son runs to the father. But this father is a picture of God. And God will have his arms wide open for you. And you say, oh, you don't know all the sins I committed. And I don't know what they are, and I don't care what they are. If you come to Jesus, he'll wash them away. God, like he said, like Isaiah says, God says in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1, verse 18. So you can backslide. Wherever you're at, come back. Jesus will take you back. But once you die, once you leave this world, it's all settled. It's heaven or hell. And in Hebrews it says, after death, the judgment. It's all settled. So you got to do it before you die. Don't put it off. Then let's see, I've got one more here. Austin, Minnesota. I am a vet from Vietnam. I've had trouble living in this world. You have given me hope. And you know, when I get a letter, when we get letters from these people from who are in the service, have served, or are serving now, we always give thanks to God for them and just praise God for them. And we pray for them. And here he writes and he says, you have given me hope. Now that's the gospel. You know where he gets his hope? He gets it from the Word of God. He doesn't get it from me because I can't give him anything, but I can give the Word of God. And when you come to Jesus and you put your faith in him, you have hope. You always have hope. And it doesn't matter how tough things may be, that wonderful Jesus is there to bless and to help and strengthen you. So you come, and maybe if you drifted away, you just say, dear Jesus, you says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do that for you. You just come to him. He'll do that for you. Maybe right now you could make that prayer and then get your Bible out, read the Gospel of John, write to us. We'll send you some literature to help you in your Christian walk. So we just thank you all for writing and helping us out. And now we have to tell you that we need your help if we're going to carry on this work. You know, we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And so you just pray and say, well, I wonder if God wants me to do anything about this. You ask the Lord, and if he tells you to get something, why, you get it ready right now, because Jan's going to play, and I'm going to pray first, and then you can make that check. And you make your check or your gift out to the Christian Worship Hour, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 574-402. And if you want to send it on the internet, you can put it christianworshiphour.com. And you know what you can do? If you're in Africa, or if you're South America, if you're in China, it doesn't matter where you are, you can send a gift. You get on the internet, christianworshiphour.com, and on there it'll say donate. That means you're going to give something. And you hit that donate, and then it'll say PayPal. And you put in there how much you want to send, and we'll get it in the United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we do get people from all over the world. Not a lot, but we hear from some of you, like to hear from more of you. And if you want to know if your money's being well spent, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means they audit every book we have, every nickel we take. They check to see if we've receipted it, and they check to see if we spent it the way we say we will spend it. And we'll spend over 90% of it for the television and radio time. So we need your help, and we hope that you'll write to us. If you'd like to have, we have a little Bible study. You can get that called The New Song. New Song. Free and postpaid. Just write to us. You got it on the screen there. Write to us, and we'll be happy to write to you. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you do what God lays on your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for supplying our needs. Thank you for your people who stood by now for over 35 years, 38 years, I guess, and always there to help us. So bless us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jan. How great thou art. That's just beautiful. And God is great, so great and wonderful and marvelous. And just to know him and to know that he loves us and he cares for us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's our prayer and that's God's wish. And so if you don't know the Lord, you've never accepted Jesus, never been a time when you prayed to ask Jesus into your life, you can do that right today. And I'll explain a little bit more about that and urge you to do that a little bit later. But we're reading from Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. And we're going to be preaching about the devil and where did he come from and all of that. And in this passage, they refer to him as Lucifer. And he has a lot of different names. And I'm going to give you the names in the message. Lucifer is one of them. And so the Isaiah writes and he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." This is Lucifer talking in heaven. "Yet thou shalt be brought," and then the answer comes, "thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the one that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That openeth not the house of his prisoners." And so here we have the fall of Lucifer, the fall of Satan. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But first, we're going to pray. And in our prayer, you know, we always pray for the believers in different countries that are being persecuted. And today, then, we're praying for those in Pakistan. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you are greater than Satan and you've delivered us from him. And he can never get a hold of us when we are in Christ. We are safe in Christ Jesus. And I just pray, we're just praying today that people everywhere will receive the Savior if they haven't done so, find security and safety, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Lord, we're praying for the people in Pakistan today. Many of them are suffering because of their faith in you. They made their stand. They haven't done a thing wrong according to the laws of the land. The only thing they've done is put their faith in Jesus Christ and refuse to disown him. And for that, they suffer. And so we pray for them. We don't pray for those that have lost their life because they're in your presence. And for them to die is gain, as St. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But those who are left behind, the mothers and the grandmothers and fathers and the little children, the poor little children, oh, I know, Lord, that you're close to them, especially close, and you'll take care of them and work things out. So we just pray for them to take heart and help them to know we think about it and pray for them. Now we pray for this service, Lord. We're looking at our enemy, the one who hates us and who wants to put our soul in hell. We're looking at him, and give us wisdom, Lord, and give us a strong faith to know that you are greater than this power of the devil, and we need never fear him. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing before the message, I Call It Home. God bless you, Barb.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there's a land where Jesus went to prepare. By his own hand, and for the saved by grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it. Things will not ever be as good as they've been. Well, I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you'll know the best is to come. Call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Oh, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. all in heaven. I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. I call
Well, thank you, Barb, and we always, our heart just beats a little faster when we think about heaven and home, all of our loved ones and Jesus there and all, and the saints of all ages, and oh my goodness, won't that be something? And we have, when you get to be 94 years old like I am, you got a slug of them over there, you got a bunch of them over there, and I'm going to see every one of them, and won't that be something? But today we have some business to take care of. We're going to talk about Satan, Satan exposed. And let me say, if you want to, I'm going to give you a lot of verses where I'm getting this information from. You know, the only place we have know anything about the devil is out of the Bible. There's no other place, no other research center. It's all in the Bible. But God, I'm telling you, tells us a lot about the devil. And so you get your pencil and paper ready. Now, you won't keep up with me. I know I'll get letters. You say, you talk too fast. Well, if I don't talk fast, we're never going to get done. And so I've got to just move along. So if you can't get everything down, you can get it on CDs or DVDs. I'm going to give you the address in just a minute here. And they're free and postpaid. And so you can get the sermon on a CD or DVD. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. You'll have all the scriptures, and you can just make a study and see what this ornery thing is about, this devil. So anyway, we're going to look at the devil today. Where did he come from? What is he really like? What does he do for a living? And how is he going to end up? And let's look at that. Where did he come from? Sometimes we hear people say, well, if God is such a good God, why did he make the devil? Well, a study of the Bible of God shows us that God did not create the devil. But by the way, all we know is, as I say, is about God tells us a lot about the devil, and God did not create the devil. What he did was, at the beginning, he created him as a beautiful angel. And we're told in the scriptures how that in Colossians 1:16, Paul says that everything that was created came from the Lord Jesus, came from God. And so God created the devil. He created him as a beautiful angel. He was perfect and he was sinless and he was just a beautiful being. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. And verse 12. And in this passage, we find a description of the devil before he sinned. Because originally he was made perfect and sinless. And then they came and he sinned. Now this is before he sinned. And the Bible presents him, as someone who was very wonderful and intellectual and musical. And he was probably the greatest of all of God's creation outside of Adam and Eve and the humanity. And so this devil, his original name is Lucifer. And that's what in the Bible is called Lucifer. And that Lucifer means light bearer or bright and shining one. And so it shows what the devil was before he sinned. He was a magnificent being, a great person. And Dan Vanderloot in the Radio Bible class writes, and he says, although the prophet was speaking of the king of Tyre in this passage, there are indications that he was speaking beyond the king of to Satan himself. So this is a picture of Satan, Ezekiel chapter 28. You can just follow it along. It says, you were sealed with perfection in verse 12. That is, he had no sin. It says he was full of wisdom. It says he was perfect in beauty. And so he was a beautiful being. And when it's, you talk about the devil as being beautiful, well, when we think about the devil, we think of somebody that something that has horns and cloven feet and a forked tail and a red hide and glaring bloodshot eyes and smoking nostrils and a pitchfork in his hand. You know, a devil like that would scare the devil himself. He is not like that at all. He's like an angel of light. He's beautiful. He's a beautiful being before the fall. And it goes on, Ezekiel goes on. In the 14th verse, he says, you were the anointed cherub that covers. In other words, when you talk about the cherub, you're talking about the seraphim and the cherubim. And whenever you read of the seraphim and the cherubim, it's always covering the throne of God, which means, and it says, the anointed cherub that covers, which gives us the thought that he was the very presence of God. That was his position. And then something terrible happened. And we're told in Ezekiel 28, verse 15, this is what Ezekiel says. He says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Until he sinned, he was perfect. How long that was, we don't know. But there came a day when he sinned. And Ezekiel goes on and he tells her what the sin is. In verse 28, chapter 28, verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And so Satan became proud and rebelled against God. And God cast him out of heaven. And if you want the picture of that, you can take Isaiah chapter 14. And Isaiah tells the rest of the story, how it happened. Isaiah says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? So Isaiah is saying, well, you were cut off the throne of God. You were perfect. You were beautiful of all the creation, of all the creatures, not Adam and Eve, but the creatures and the angels. You're the most beautiful. Well, why were you cast out of heaven? Isaiah is asking that. And then he says in his heart, he tells us why in this chapter, Isaiah 14, he says, you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan's pride made him so he rebelled against God, and God cast him out of heaven. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? And in Isaiah 15, he says, you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest part of the pit. Isaiah 14, verse 15. And so this Ezekiel talks about it. He talks about the fall of Lucifer, and he says, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence and became filled with violence within. You sinned, and because he sinned, you're cast out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of splendor. I cast you to the ground. And there you see the origination of Lucifer. And he's cast out of heaven. And when he was cast out of heaven, there were angels cast with him, and they became demons. Maybe a third of all the angels were cast down. So that's the origination of Satan. So what is he like? Well, he's more than just an impersonal force. Sometimes you say, well, Satan is just an evil force like the wind or something like that. But the Bible teaches us so many things. It says that he has all the traits of personality. It says he has intellect, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31. He has emotion, Revelation 12, verse 17. He has a will, 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. And for personal pronouns are used for him in both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is a person. He is a real live being. And he has all the names given that identify a person. Well, let's look at some of the names that God gives him in the Bible. Some of the names are Satan. That's used 52 times in the Bible. It means adversary or opposer. It's in Zechariah 3:1, Matthew 4:10, Revelation 12:9, and Revelation 20, verse 2. He's called Satan. He's called the devil, used 35 times. Devil means slanderer, accuser. That's found in Matthew 4:1 and Matthew 13:39, Ephesians 4:27, and Revelation 12:9, and chapter 20 and verse 2. He's called Lucifer, means son of the morning, shining one, light bearer in Isaiah 14:12. And so we have to remember what Paul says about Lucifer, about Satan in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Listen to this. St. Paul says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light so as to deceive the world. So you don't look for an ornery cuss, although that's what he is, but he'll be just an angel of light. Like one little girl in Sunday school there studying, he says, when he comes to town, he comes all dressed up like a man, nice man. Well, that's exactly, she had it exactly right. Comes as a nice person. He's a devil from his the entire being. He's called the anointed cherub. It means that he had high rank. He's called the evil one. Matthew 13:19 and 38, John 17:15, Ephesians 6:16, 1 John 5:18-19. He's called the ruler of this world, and it refers that he has a world system of demons all over the world, all of creation. That's so many troubles and trials and sorrows in this world. Mankind himself, because he has a sinful nature, is a cause of a lot of trouble. But Satan adds to it and makes it only worse, intensifies it. He's called the God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2, verse 2. And disgrace, he has some kind of a spiritual influence over people, the prince of the power of the air. He's called the serpent. It portrays deceit and craftiness in Genesis 3:1, 2 Corinthians 11:3, Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20, verse 2. I'm going really fast on these verses because I want to cover them all. You have to get a CD if you want to look it up and make a Bible study out of it. But that won't hurt you. Just write in. Send some money when you write if the Lord lays it on your heart. He's called the dragon. And it means he has a fierce nature and the power to destroy, Revelation 12, verses 3, 7, and 9. He's called the accuser, Revelation 12, verse 10. He's called the tempter, Matthew 4, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, 5. He's called the deceiver, Revelation 12, verse 9 and 20, verse 3. He's called a murderer, John 8, verse 44. Called a liar, John 8. 44. He's called a sinner, 1 John 3:9. He's called Beelzebub, ruler of the demons, which translated means Lord of the flies. It makes you sick. Matthew 10, verse 25, Matthew 12, 24 and 27, Mark 3, 22, Luke 11, 15. He's called Belial, means worthless or wicked, 2 Corinthians 6:15. Called a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. And means that he's hungry and he's on the prowl to devour Christians and to cause them all kinds of trouble. And not just the Christians, the unsaved. He is a low down, he's as evil as they come. That's a picture of the devil. So what does he do for a living? I put out a few things here. Wish I could spend all day talking about all the dirty things the devil does. He torments the people of God. He torments the world's inhabitants. He attacks Christianity and he talks on non-Christians. He tempts them. Those non-Christians, those people don't believe in Jesus. They're a part of his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. But he even pesters them and punishes them. That's the kind of a ruler you have. That's the kind of a head you have. You need a loving Savior to take you in his arms and carry you and lift you through and help you through the hard times of life. The devil will never do that. All he can do is just bring trouble and trial and sorrow. And so, for instance, he is called the God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And it means that he has power in this day and age. He's called the ruler of this world. And so that means that he works in our society and with the morals of our country and with the world and how the world looks at and how they live and their lifestyle and their society. That's the devil at work behind all of these evil things. And so this devil. But having said all that about the devil, he is not ever present. That is, he is not all powerful. He is not all wise like God. He has his limitations, but he has subordinates. He has helpers. He has demons. And where do these demons come from? Well, we're told that when he was cast out of heaven, a third of the angel, the third of the stars fell. They think that means a third of the angels fell with Satan because they aligned themselves with him. And so they became demons, the demons of hell. And they serve the Satan. And believe me, they work hard, harder than a lot of Christians work, I can tell you. And we have Christians and they don't really get with it and they don't really give and they don't serve and they're touchy and you can't get along with some of them. And like one pastor told me, he says, I got a bunch of members, they're just like balloons. I don't know which one's going to blow up next. Well, Christians get with it. The demons are with it, with the devil, believe me. And they're united and they're at work. And so he comes and he causes all of these troubles. One thing he likes to do is he likes to counterfeit the gospel. He likes to give a false gospel. And we call it wolves in sheep's clothing. And so they come along and their woods are full of that called cults. And they have a theology, but it doesn't deal with the things of God. Or they'll don't say that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is not only the Son of God, he is God. And the cults will come and they'll put him down, or they'll give you some different story, or they'll have other different ways to heaven, and all of this stuff. You know what God says in Galatians 1, verse 8? When they come, when these counterfeiters come, this is what you do. He says in Galatians 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach the gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. You know what that means, to let him be accursed? It means let him go to hell is exactly what it means in that translation. And so we Christians today, we need to read that Bible and get into the Bible studies and go to a church where they preach the gospel and get into prayer meetings. Get serious about this. Satan is a counterfeiter and he's picking up people all the time and they believe the craziest things on the face of the earth because he blinds their eyes. Another thing he does, he deceives people. That is, he makes things look so good when they're going to be so bad. He makes it look so fancy. For instance, I think about the lottery. You know, I remember when South Dakota voted in the lottery. And you know how they sold it? I went to one of those Cracker Barrel things and opposed it. And you know what they said? Well, if we want to run the lottery, if we want to gamble, let us gamble. Don't get after us. We have a right to do that. Well, you know what they do? They have all kinds of publicity. You can make a fortune and they sell it right and left. And those politicians lied through their teeth and they'll answer to God for that. But there it is, it pictures, it's so good. And I've seen these people that gamble away their homes and their lives and the house and their family and even their life. And oh, how the devil works. He's a deceiver and he always makes it look better than it is. Another thing he does, he accuses us before God. Whenever we commit a sin, whenever we make a mistake, maybe it's a sin of commission, maybe it's a sin of omission. We should have done something, we didn't do it. All kinds of different ways. And so we read in Revelation 12, verse 10, that he is therefore the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night. And so he accuses us before God. But you know what? We have a great high priest there before the throne of God, and he intercedes for us all the time. And when I make my mistakes and I do my sins and I have my thoughts I shouldn't have, The devil says, see, look at him, look at him, look at him. And Jesus stands up for me, and he's my lawyer in heaven. He's my priest in heaven, and he intercedes for us. So the devil, and then he is accuser. And another thing the devil loves to do, he likes to discourage the people of God. Because if he can get you discouraged, you'll never do anything. You'll just be so discouraged. You'll be so much in the dumps, you just won't have to do. You won't know what to do. And one way he discourages us is he makes us think of the past. And all of us, I guess most all of us, I know I have things in my past that I wish I'd never have done. I wish I could erase it. I wish I could do it over. I wish that I would have done more good things with my family and things like that. You can't change the past, and the devil knows you can't change the past, so he hits you over the head with it, and he discourages you, and he wants you to give up. Maybe you're really trying to serve the Lord, and you're never appreciated. And maybe some of you work with somebody and they turn against you and you lose a friend or you trusted. Oh, there's every way he can do it. He tries to get you discouraged. Well, if he's doing that, playing that game with you, you just tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus. And you know the one thing about the devil? He is not afraid to tempt anybody. He tempted the Son of God. He tempted Jesus and he tempted him at the temple. He isn't afraid to tempt anybody, and he'll try to get you discouraged. And if you're discouraged today, oh, you just turn to Jesus, and you tell Jesus your troubles, and you ask him just to, if you're a Christian, just tell him that you're sorry you feel that way, and then read the Psalms. I like to read the Psalms, read the John. The Gospel of John is so good. And then get with Christian people get into a Bible study and read Christian materials and stop watching some of this trash on television, which is not the Christian worship hour. We're not trash. So I'm not, not under self-convicting myself here. We're trying to help you get on the right path. And you just put your faith in Jesus. And so the last thing I put on, how's he going to end up? One thing for sure, he's not God. He's not eternal. His end is coming and he knows it. And in the Garden of Eden, when Satan got our first parents to sin, God came on the scene and he pronounced judgment on the serpent, upon Satan. He judged the sinning couple and then he judged Satan. And in Genesis 3, verse 15, he says, the seed of the woman, which would be Jesus, will crush Satan's head, that is, destroy him. Jesus is going to have the last word. Wouldn't you like to know what he says? Well, we know what he says. We know the last thing that God says, that Jesus says to the devil. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10. Jesus will say to Satan, cast him into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And along with Satan, cast into hell, will be all of those fallen angels, all of those demons, and oh God, do you know what else? Anybody that hasn't received Jesus is going to go in the same place. And that's what God tells us. And he tells us over and over, repent. He says, he that believes, John 3:36, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You reject Jesus. I'm telling you over and over, pray and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Use your own words. And ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin and promise to turn from your sin. You can't just live like a hog and get saved and continue living like a hog. You have to strive to live for the Lord, and you're going to fall down a lot of times. I know I have, but he'll forgive you every time. You ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin. Promise you'll serve him and then thank him and then tell somebody. And you men, you tell your wife she's been praying for you forever. And you sit there like a bump on the log. You accept Jesus and tell her that. And when you accept Jesus, you write to us. We'll send you some literature on how to get started in the Christian life. And we answer everyone that writes to us. And if they're foreign, from foreign countries, we do the same thing. Cost a ton on the postage, but it's worth it for his soul. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you have some question, some spiritual question, you write to us and we'll help you the best we can. We're going to pray for you now. And we're praying, oh Jesus, may there be multitudes, thousands and thousands all over the world that asking you into their heart right now, and they'll never have to face the lake of fire, but they'll face that city of God where John said, it's so beautiful, I can't even put into words how beautiful it is. Oh God, may there be multitudes that come to Jesus and leave Satan to himself with his evil ones. And then help us, Lord, to love you and trust you. And Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are discouraged. We pray for those who are lonely. Oh God, help them just to lean on you. Help them to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Oh God, lift them up. Give them strength. Give them joy. Give them the joy of the Lord. The joy that Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And it'll, with that joy will come strength. Oh, bless them. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for having us being with us today. And thank you for all of you that are writing and all of you are helping us. Pray for us. If you don't have any money, you can pray for us. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour that will honor Jesus and glorify God, and that will bring the sinners to Jesus and will comfort the saints of God. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. That's what we're about, and it's all for the glory of God. God bless you. We love you. Look for you next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.